All right, coming up on 206 here on DGS. Dave is out today helping helping Phoebe move back from her freshman year at Kansas. So they, I don't know, again, I don't know where they are, on the road, not on the road, still packing. Don't have any idea, but I know Dave will be back tomorrow if he can recover from all of that today. And as we joked an hour ago, I have done that so many times. I did four times my own, but then five or six with my kid, counting master's stuff. Now that she's doing PhD, I'm out of the loop. She's an adult. She can do all that stuff on her own. But definitely have been where Dave is many times, and I know it's a busy day. Let's just put it that way. But we're continuing on as usual. Happy to have John Canavera and Megan Ditton from Live Nation. Welcome.
Thanks for having us. Nice to see you guys.
Good to be here.
And, you know, we know that this is, you know, summertime is baseball season in St. Louis. Summertime is also my concert season, and thank God most of the big rock and metal shows that I'm looking forward to seeing are after my coaching season ends in mid-July.
We did that specifically for you.
So thank you, guys.
Yeah, we tried to plan
it out. I sent
the
email in, like, I don't know, like last August, and I guess that's what you got to do, right? Get in early?
We accommodate. We try. That's right.
Yeah, full.
All right, so obviously a lot going on with Live Nation here, but also the more pressing thing is coming up in, starting in a couple of days now, 2 days, right?
Starts
We start
Wednesday.
Concert week.
Yes.
So tell everybody, what's concert week?
So concert week is a special time where we offer tickets for $25, and that includes all fees. So, I mean, it is a deal. I mean, you cannot beat it. If you're looking for a date night, that is $50 for a date night. If you want to take your family, that's $100. And there are for shows all over the area. So St. Louis Music Park, Hollywood Casino, Amphitheater. I mean, it's just really great. So it starts Wednesday at 9 a.m. and goes through the 14th. But tickets do go fast, so we encourage people to log on, see what's available, and get them as soon as you can.
And a lot of different, I noticed, for concert week, a lot of different styles of music included, right? I mean, we're talking Luke Bryan, Sammy Hagar's the one that caught my attention, but I mean, they're literally all over the range of things that could be in people's tastes.
Yeah, I mean, there's something for everyone. You know, other shows, James Taylor at the Amphitheater, Earth, Wind & Fire in Chicago together. There's 21 Savage, hip-hop artists. I mean, there's something for everybody.
And one of our favorites, El Monstero, on June 15th. Jimmy and the guys are going to be June 15th at Hollywood Casino. That is one of the shows that's a part of Concert Week. So.
And it's really cool this year. Opening up the show is John Anderson, who is the former lead singer of Yes.
Yeah.
So there's going to be an hour of Yes music before El Monstero. So it's going to be
it's a
night
show.
Of hits.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a show. All right, so livenation.com/concertweek.
Correct.
Is it that simple? Just go there and then type in where you want to be. I know there's other... There's other like deals attached to that too, right? Like I'm a T-Mobile guy. There's a link there for.
Yeah, there's actually a pre-sale tomorrow for T-Mobile.
There we go.
Members, so.
Guess what I'm going to be doing
T-Mobile
tomorrow?
T-Mobile and for Rakuten members tomorrow.
So a little bit of a get in early on those.
And get your first dibs.
I'm going to take advantage because I was looking at. I know some of them. You know, like the concert season is packed.
Yeah.
Not all of the shows on the concert season are a part of Concert Week. But there's a lot of crossover, and I've been like, just since you guys gave me this card that's got all the shows, I've been shopping.
I know, right? It's like I want to see that and that and that
Five Finger Death Punch.
And with Marilyn Manson.
That's right.
My favorite.
That's right. Yeah.
He's my number one.
You know, he's a bit problematic off stage.
He has a little
but
bit.
But I'm also an,
he's back.
I'm
he's
an OG
back.
When it comes to the music. Like,
me
I've
too.
Listened to him going back to the 90s.
Me too.
Seen him in person probably... 5-6 times over the years.
I'm well over that.
So I'm hoping that he's on the straight and narrow.
He is. He's coming back.
Really good live when he is.
So good live.
I've seen both live.
Yeah. I've seen both live as well.
But the good guy is really good.
Yes,
he's really good.
So
obviously, you know, the summertime is perfect for this, right? You get the great outdoor venues. And it's kind of traditional that over the course of these months, May, June, July, August, into September, you've got all of these great things. This seems to be maybe just perception, like recency bias. It seems to be a very loaded season.
No, this year is just unbelievable.
I mean, beyond normal?
Yes.
This is beyond normal.
Okay.
I mean, the fact that just alone for the amphitheater, you've got Green Day, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. You've got Red Hot Chili Peppers, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers.
James Taylor, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers.
Yeah, just all these great superstars. I mean, to have them all in one summer is just
Yeah, and also, I mean, it's more shows than I think we've had at the amphitheater in years.
Since, like, the amphitheater opened in the
90s. Yeah, and, you know, with adding with St. Louis Music Park, I mean, we have about 30 shows there. So, I mean, there are just so many shows, so much for people to choose from.
And if you don't like outdoors, there's still indoors options. There's the Pageant, the Factory, and Stiefel Theater, Delmar Enterprise
Hall.
Center.
Yeah, I mean, Chaffetz there's kind Arena. Of everything. I mean, there's everything. We don't sleep. We don't sleep much.
I'm just getting ready to ask. Who does all of this? Is it just the? Is this the two of you putting all of this together? I know you're going to have a team, but I mean, like,
we have a team of four marketing, and we have two bookers, and
We're the
so the bookers have been really busy.
Yes,
bookers have been busy. Yeah.
We haven't seen them much lately.
Our touring team is busy out in LA. Yeah, everybody's busy.
So I mean, like, there's clearly a reason, right? Like, they're ramping up the concert. Experience is a much bigger part of the music experience than ever before, simply because of the business structure of the entire industry, right?
It's how the artists make their living.
Right.
There's no money in records anymore.
Right.
So when they sell their music and on albums, they don't get anything from that. So it used to be they toured to advertise the album. Now it's the albums, they advertise the tour.
Right. And again, I don't like, I'm not trying to say better or worse. I'm not trying to say this is better, but I will say this. I love all the opportunities that I'm having to go see people live.
And concerts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the great thing.
Yeah, and concerts have changed a lot, too. It used to be as simple, like, you know, they stand there, do an hour of songs, and there's a simple roll of lights above them.
Yeah, now
it's
like
a full multimedia extravaganza for a show now.
Now it's like one-upping each other to see who can have the bigger set and who can have the bigger light show and who can have the bigger video screen. And it's amazing, and I live for it. I love it.
Is there anything else people need to know? I mean, I know it's simple. Again, you can find out livenation.com/concertweek. You can go to St. Louis. You've got all kinds. What you handed me was just the events at the Music Park and at Hollywood Casino. Yep, but as you mentioned, they're all over the place. The Factory.
Chaffetz Pageant. Yeah. Delmar Hall. Stiefel Theater.
And the good thing to know is, like, especially at Hollywood, most of them are lawn tickets, obviously, while supplies last.
Right, right.
But there are some shows that are reserved seat only shows, like Boys to Men, Meghan Trainor. So those will be shows, Smashing Pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
So those are shows where you're actually getting a $25 reserve ticket.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, you can't beat that at all.
Almost unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. So.
Almost unheard of for you know, the artists of that magnitude.
It absolutely is.
Okay, so let's repeat the deal. For Concert Week, which starts May 8th through the 14th, early preview for Rakuten and T-Mobile customers.
It's tomorrow.
That starts tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So you can get in there tomorrow if you are connected to one or both of those.
You should be getting like an email from one of those groups.
I did.
Okay, good. I was going to say you should be.
I did,
I'm not related to either one, so I didn't get my email. But yeah, Wednesday at 9 a.m., you can log on to livenation.com/concertweek. Start purchasing for $25, and that includes all your fees. And yeah, the tickets will go quick though, like we said. So if you want a show, definitely
go do it Wednesday first thing.
Wednesday first thing,
or take advantage of presale tomorrow if you can.
Take advantage of presales. Yeah,
that's awesome. Absolutely. Anything else we need?
None. The season's here. I mean, we opened up Music Park last night with the season opener.
Awesome. That was it. So who opened last night?
Judas Priest.
Oh, I did miss it.
Sold out.
See,
Judas Priest.
That's because I told you, because I have coaching, and we never know when our tournament are going to end, so I can't just like. I'm going to buy a ticket for this show that I might not be able to attend.
Yeah.
But when that's over in July, look out.
Yeah,
we're going to see you all the time.
You more than you like, probably.
I'm okay with that. I love it. I just met you, and I'm down with it. I'm excited.
All right. Thank you, guys. Great to see you.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
It's Monday on DGS. I'm not Dave. Dave will be back tomorrow. He's doing the college move home thing after freshman year, but the rest of us are here. Tom Ackerman's going to join us at 3 o'clock. We'll talk a bit more about the Cardinals' awful weekend against the White Sox, dropping 2 out of 3. Not hitting, that's it. That's what it comes down to. And one thing in particular, here's your teaser, not hitting fastballs, which is a real problem because you see a lot of them. It's literally like 40 to 50% of the pitches that you see. So we'll talk a bit about the ins and outs of that and whether or not there are any changes. If there's any news from the ballpark, and we don't know that there will be, there might be a couple of minor roster changes. There might be something with Giovanni Gallegos, who struggled again yesterday, but maybe dealing with a physical problem where he's going on the IL. So if there's anything like that, Matt Pauly's there. We're going to know it right away. So we'll pass that along to you a little bit later on. Rach, Andrew, that conversation that we just had with John and Megan about the concert series and We were talking a little bit off the air, briefly on the air, but about our first concert, seeing a particular artist. In this case, it was Manson. Do you guys, what was your first ever real concert? Like seeing an artist that you were looking forward to seeing in a big venue. It could be a smaller venue, I guess, depending on your experience. But what, do you remember your first one?
Yeah, mine was, you're going to hate this, Wheels. Mine was Bob Dylan. At the Fox Theater.
Well, I don't hate it because it was yours, not mine.
And I was 16. My dad took me, and I was so excited to go. And it was my first time at the Fox, too, I'm pretty sure. So that was just, like, a really special experience.
I'm asking you guys, by the way, like, do you remember this? Like you're the old lady from the movie Titanic.
It's been 80 years.
But he did not sound great.
No?
No.
What year was it?
It was about 2007, 2008.
Oh. He's been terrible for decades.
Yeah.
He's just not really.
It was just straight up hard to pick out like anything that he was saying. It was still really fun, and I got to see Elvis Costello open up for him, which was amazing, and this artist
I bet in terms of quality he was better. Like in terms of like like what level he was at.
Elvis Costello? Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. He sounded incredible. But it's a very nice memory. And, but yeah, Bob Dylan could have been better. I'm shocked that he's still out there performing at this time because he just doesn't sound anything like his recordings, but that's okay.
Mm. Andrew, who'd you see?
I just remember for my first couple of concerts, I went with a group of people that insisted on, and they were paying for it because they had rich parents. So I was like, hey, whatever you say. But they insisted on like getting there and lining up outside the venue, like like 8-9 hours beforehand to ensure that you could be at the very, very front of like the pit, like up against the railing, right? And so being young and foolish, I thought that was what you had to do for concerts. I thought that's what you were like supposed to do. And I'm like, man, this sucks. I mean, this is like an entire day endeavor. Like, I go to high school, man. I'm losing my whole Saturday to like sit around on the concrete for 9 hours before I get to see a concert for 45 minutes. This sucks.
Yeah.
Then I learned that they were crazy people and that I don't actually have to do that. Oh. I can just show up when the doors open.
I've definitely lined up on many occasions because I wanted to be, especially if it's at like the pageant or something, you just want to be right up there on the stage.
All right. Old guy alert. You guys have no idea. What it was like doing this in the 80s, where like if it was any big sporting event, big game, you camped out. Mm-hmm. Like you were in line outdoors. And
but I'm not just saying for tickets. This is to actually like go in and see.
Oh, for both.
Okay.
For both. Like just to give you an idea. I was only a part of the rotation on this. I wasn't there all the time because I was in high school and I had to go to school. We sat in line outdoors for days to pick the spot in the neighborhood my parents wanted to build their house in because they had a new neighborhood going out and you were basically first come, first serve on your pick of which lot you would get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was 3 days. One of us was out there, whether it was my dad, my mom, me, I think cousins chipped in. Like in the 80s, it was a thing. You just always, you sat outside and waited in line for every damn thing. The worst.
Ugh,
thank God we don't do that stupid stuff anymore.
Yeah, now no thanks.
Now you just have to beat the bots online.
Yeah. Which impossible.
Is even more difficult. I would rather we go back to the lines.
But at least you can do that from the comfort of your own home.
I guess.
Or just sitting on the couch with your phone. I can't remember the order. If I'm remembering it right, and I think I am, my first concert ever was the Rolling Stones. 1988.
That's a fun first concert.
Steel Wheels tour. I know it was the Steel Wheels album. And so it was them, and they were opening, the opening band was Living Color. They were huge at the time. But it was weird because it was like what you're talking about, Rach, with Elvis Costello and Bob Dylan. Living Color is like young dudes in their prime and just killing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rolling Stones were, well, here's the crazy thing. They were probably then my age now.
Right.
I was looking at them like, they're so old. And Mick's the only
how much longer can they keep doing this?
Yeah, like Mick's the only one that moves. Like they propped Keith Richards up with a post on his back to keep him from falling over. And it felt like nothing was happening. And they had like giant thing. Like their stage presentation was huge. It was 4 stories tall, whatever. It was in the, at the time, it was called the Silver Dome. So it would be like seeing it over at the Dome here. It was just this huge place. And that was the first one. And then, was it last week?
Andrew, or the week before when we had Steve Vai?
2 weeks ago, I want to say.
2 weeks ago. Steve Vai was playing guitar for David Lee Roth at the time I saw that tour. That was my second show ever. And phenomenal.
Nice.
Absolutely phenomenal. Those were great, great early shows. I can't even think. Guys, I don't know if you've ever been to a live show that you hated. I don't think I have. Mm. I don't think I've ever gone to a concert that I chose to go to and was like, nope, that was bad.
I have, but I can't think of what it was. I just remember there being an instance where I was like, ugh, this is terrible.
Even for artists that I'm middling on, my wife has always loved Billy Joel. My mom always loved Billy Joel. So I grew up around Billy Joel and then also married into a Billy Joel family. I've seen him live two or three times. It's fine. Mm-hmm. So it's not me, but it's fine. He's funny. It's entertaining. They do some rock songs and then they do the other ones.
It's sort of funny the thing you said about the Rolling Stones, because I think maybe my first concert wasn't a great concert, right? I just went because I'd never been to one before and I was invited. And it was a band that Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 started after he broke up the band.
So is this before or after the UFOs?
This is like in the middle of the UFOs.
He's still
UFOs.
In the UFOs, yeah.
But
yeah.
I just remember the gist around him being like, he's kind of washed. I don't know if he's really got it anymore. He's kind of washed up. He was, at that time when I saw him, he was 3 years younger than I am right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, looking back on that, I'm like, yeah, man, I had a similar experience, and then I was like, wait a minute. Nope, yep, he was actually younger than I am currently.
I say, are you guys just now...
Like, he's washed up.
Are you guys just now reaching that age where you're like, I thought that person was old, but now in retrospect, they were the age then that I am now? Have you gotten there much yet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I saw him at age 31 up on that stage, he may as well have been 31, or he may as well have been 70. You know what I mean? Like, it was just... old.
I'm more like, it freaks me out that every athlete is younger than me now.
Yes.
That's weird. It's like, you're supposed to be
a
hero.
Wait till they're young enough to be your child.
Ugh, no.
All right, 2:35 on DGS. Tom Ackerman's going to join us in a half an hour. So right after the 3 o'clock news, we'll talk about the Cardinals dropping 2 of 3 to the White Sox, the offensive struggles. They also just made a roster move, by the way. We got a text from the team a few minutes ago. Gio Gallegos is headed to the injured list, as was expected. He's been struggling for a while. He's heading to the injured list with a right shoulder impingement. And the Cardinals are calling up a right-hander named Chris Roycroft from the Memphis Redbirds. Chris is a 6'8", 230-pound right-hander who, according to my buddy Derek Gould, who tweeted about this a little bit ago, he throws very hard. So be interesting to see how he's deployed, how long he's going to be here. But they had a bullpen day yesterday, so they used a few people. And he gives them a little more depth going into today's game against the Mets, which, by the way, is at 6:45 tonight. All right. Audio. Who wants to go first?
Well, Wheels, you've got a couple of pieces here.
I do.
Yeah. You should go first.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do the Tim Scott one, because this one is everything that I hate about the way we do things in politics right now. So Tim Scott was on Meet the Press, and he was simply asked if he will accept the results of the 2024 election.
Senator, will you commit to accepting the election results of 2024, bottom line?
At the end of the day, the 47th president of the United States will be President Donald Trump, and I'm excited to give back to low inflation, low unemployment.
Wait, Senator, yes or no, will you accept the election results of 2024 no matter who wins?
That is my statement.
But is it just yes or no? Will you accept the election results of 2024?
I look forward to President Trump being the 47th president. Kristen, you could ask him multiple times.
But Senator, just a yes or no answer.
So the American people will make the decision.
But I don't hear you committing.
For President Trump. That's that clear.
I don't hear you committing to the election results.
Here's the deal.
Will you commit to accepting the election results?
This is why so many Americans believe that NBC is an extension of the Democrat Party. At the end of the
day. Here's the thing. They should have cut his feed off. They should have shut off his mic, turned off the camera, and stopped the interview. If you won't answer that question, which is a simple, fair question, there's nothing biased about that question. There is nothing you can't answer about that question. Will you accept the outcome of the election is a simple question.
stop repeating the question, shut it down. Am I wrong?
I mean, in a perfect world, yes. I mean, you're not wrong. Sorry.
Okay. It's fine if it's obvious. It's fine if you guys think I'm wrong about that. But until we stop giving them, and by them I mean anyone. I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat. As soon as we stop holding them to answer the question that's being asked and let them change the subject, let them do whatever they want to do in terms of, I feel this way about the debates too. I don't care which party. I don't care which candidate. You are asked a question. Answer that question or bye. We're done. Mm-hmm. You don't get to change the subject. You don't get to decide whether or not you're going to ask a... Now, if it's a personal, terrible question about your family, your children, whatever, don't answer that. And the candidate should say, that has nothing to do with anything. I'm not answering that. I'm talking about when you're given a very simple, fair question. I don't think it's an unfair question to ask someone who might be a VP candidate whether or not they will accept the outcome of an election.
But also, isn't there something to letting him look stupid, right?
I get what you're saying, Andrew, but I don't think that NBC was like, we're making him look so stupid right now. I think it was more like, this is going to go viral for sure. This is gold, so I'm going to keep asking him the question. I do think it's really funny that all she was asking was yes or no, will you accept the results of the election? And Tim Scott goes, this is why the American people believe that NBC is an extension of the Democrat Party.
I mean, people believe that, but that's not because of this.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
It's because of the 24-hour coverage on MSNBC that people believe that. And again, they're not entirely wrong to believe that. I mean, based on the way that they cover politics, yeah. That's how that is. But this isn't even a political question. This is not a slanted question. This is a simple, if you're not going to accept it, if your guy loses, that's a problem.
But he can't say that. Like, the thing is he's too scared to say the truth, which is that, no, he's not going to accept the results of the election.
Well, his real answer should be, I'm going to do whatever Donald tells me I should do.
That's
his answer. Right.
That's his answer. Yeah.
And obviously he can't say that because A, it makes him look bad, and B, it makes Donald Trump look bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then stop letting him just mess around.
Yeah, stop being in that position where you have to look bad all the time.
And I feel the same way if Fox News, if Brian Kilmeade has somebody on from whoever. I mean, obviously it's going to be Biden and Harris. I mean, I don't think they're going to change that. But if Kamala Harris was on Fox News and they asked that same question, she should get the same treatment. It's a simple question. Do you trust the electoral process in the United States? Because we have now established as fact, friend of KMOX, Major Garrett has written an entire book about how the 2020 election was not stolen. There is no evidence. It has not been presented. Everything that's been brought to court has been kicked out of court by conservative judges, by liberal judges, by judges appointed by Donald Trump. It doesn't matter. None of it stood up. The people that made the claims when they have gotten to court, like Rudy Giuliani, have said in court, we cannot make the claim that anything fraudulent happened because we have no evidence of that. It's a fact that nothing went wrong. Nothing went there. And we're going to let people just continue to play this game. Stop letting them play the game. This is where I think people in our line of work, and I know we don't do the same thing as like the TV, 24-hour TV news networks or whatever, but people in our line of work just don't hold a hard line. The content matters more than a simple, you either are going to play this game by the rules or you're not. And if you're not going to play by the rules, the game's over. The game's over. It's our TV show. It's our network. It's our radio station. If you come on with this show and I'm going to ask you a simple question, if you don't want to answer the question, well, then bye. Bye. See ya. You don't get to just come on somebody else's program and take your own agenda and run with it. It's an interview. You are asked questions. You give answers. If you don't like the format, then don't do it. Sorry.
You're fine.
Well, that's great.
A little rant.
Yeah. And that was a Kevin rant. You have another piece of audio from Gronk, I guess.
From the roast last night, right?
Yeah.
Which part of it did I send you? I can't remember.
I was going to say, you sent it
this
to me.
Is this Nikki Glaser?
Yeah.
Okay.
Making fun of
Mr.
Gronk.
So Tom Brady got roasted last night live on Netflix. It was, I did not sit and watch the whole thing in real time. I have seen most of the relevant funny parts either on Twitter or on TikTok, and there are a lot of sick burns. Tom Brady,
for sure.
Tom Brady got absolutely hammered. Most of the things that were said, we could never play on KMOX or any other non cable slash satellite cat slash streaming service. No broadcast outlet could put most of it up there. But Nikki Glaser, St. Louisan, friend of the show, she got a good one in on Gronk that we can actually play. So if you, I think the joke tells it, so I'm not going to set it up any further than that, but Gronk took a good punch here.
Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, me know that not real money. Like,
the audio is a little harder to hear, but Tom Brady lost a lot of money in crypto. He was one of the athletes that was advertising, and I think he lost $30 million is what she said there, and I think that's accurate. And then, you know, the Gronk's response was, me know that, not real money. First of all, to see Gronk laughing at that was amazing. He thought that was hilarious.
Was
Tom Brady loved it. Yeah, you have to be. If you're going to be on the dais at a roast, you have to be okay with getting smacked.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty good one. Yeah. And that was one of the only ones we could play on here, which is why I picked it.
Yeah.
You got any audio, Rach?
I don't, but Andrew has
you got
a
one?
Piece.
Yeah, I got that thing from Kristi Noem earlier yesterday, if we want to hear that. This is her on Meet the Press, not knowing what's in her own book.
Talk about meeting some world leaders and one specific one. Quote, I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. I've been a children's pastor after all. Did you meet Kim Jong-un?
Well, you know, as soon as this was brought to my attention, I certainly made some changes and looked at this passage. And I've met with many, many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. As soon as it was brought to my attention, we went forward and have made some edits. So I'm glad that this book is being released in a couple of days and that those edits will be in place and that people will have the updated version.
So you did not meet with Kim Jong-un. That's what you're saying.
No, I've met with many, many world leaders. Many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. I think I've talked extensively in this book about my time serving in Congress, my time as governor, before governor, some of the travels that I've had. I'm not going to talk about my specific meetings with world leaders. I'm just not going to do that. This anecdote shouldn't have been in the book. And as soon as it was brought to my attention, I made sure that that was adjusted. So
you made it up.
Well, what's interesting is that she's like, well, as soon as someone brought to my attention that there was something about me meeting Kim Jong-un, I went to the actual publisher page of the book that she's releasing, and she's the only author listed as the book, meaning that, according to her, she wrote the book.
Which, of course, she didn't. There's
of
a ghostwriter,
but it's like, what do you mean when this was brought to my attention? Like, this is your book.
You told the story. And even if there's a ghostwriter, the ghostwriter didn't make it up.
Yeah, he didn't
she would have told the ghostwriter, yeah, I met Kim Jong-un. First of all, what a weird brag if you didn't.
Yeah, that's very strange.
Or flex, I guess. I don't know if it's a brag or a flex or both. But also, again, if you're asking that question, she's on to promote her book. If she won't answer the question, turn off the mic, shut off the camera, no more airtime for your book. It's a simple question.
Wheels, I get what you're saying, but you're asking people to have integrity, and sometimes I think that's just a little too much to ask.
I'm asking them to care more about journalism than access.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. And yes, I know, I'm shouting into the wind. All right, coming up in a few minutes, Tom Ackerman is going to join the show. We'll talk about the Cardinals roster move today, which is not a huge one, and it was expected. Giovanni Gallegos going to the injured list with a shoulder impingement. 6'8" right-hander Chris Roycroft is coming to the big leagues, will be making his major league debut the first time he ends up in a Cardinals game. So we'll do some baseball talk with Tom here in a few minutes. Andrew? Every time I look down at our Google Doc, Rach, I don't know if you've noticed this, but every time I look down, there's a cicada story.
Because I'm scared, man. I'm freaking out over here. I mean, they're not even here yet. I'm getting nervous.
Why? Those cicadas.
They're making their way east, it seems like. I don't know if that's true, but it seems like it.
I saw a clip of President Biden saying that a cicada hit him in the face or something.
I Didn't see that, and I'm good because I would have been scared. Did you see Pauly's thing?
No.
Matt Pauly?
No.
He posted a picture of his mailbox, and it's absolutely coated in both real cicadas and fake cicadas.
Fake cicadas?
Yeah, the little shells.
Oh, okay.
Them crunchy little shells they leave behind.
So dead cicadas.
Yeah. That maybe those are the remnants of the zombie cicadas.
Could be. Ooh. I don't know if they leave remnants, though, because they don't have a... Do they have a shell?
Yeah. They just don't have all the insides and underneaths. Like that part all falls off.
I have seen them before. It is pretty terrifying. Because, you know, you picture a traditional bug and it's got the thorax or whatever on the back. You know, whatever they call the dumper back there. And they just don't have them. It's just gone.
Yeah.
It's replaced by like what looks like.
Like fungus.
Yeah, fungus.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. I just looked up the mailbox. There's like 20 cicadas on it. It's not absolutely
coated.
That's
a lot of cicadas, Rachel.
That's like a normal amount of bugs to see. Have you seen it, Wheels?
Yeah.
A normal amount of bugs? These things are the size of your hand.
No, they're not. They're the size of your thumb, maybe.
What are you talking about? That's a normal amount of cicadas.
Cicadas are like a thumb.
I think they're smaller than that.
Yeah, they probably are now. They can get a little bigger, some of them, but Andrew, we gotta get over this. Like, they can't bite you, they can't sting you.
I'm going to get 20 cicadas and put them on you guys and then be like, well, it's a normal amount.
That's fine.
I'll
this
be
is
fine.
Totally, exposure therapy
this
for
is
you.
A totally yeah. normal amount. I'm not going to do it. You guys are going to do it. I'm not going near them.
Do you think you're going to have to, like, run from your house to your car through a cloud of cicadas?
That is what I have done in the past.
It's not going to be, like, a biblical plague, I don't think.
I was thinking earlier that I would get, do you guys know what a pickleball racket looks like? Kind of looks like a slightly bigger, like, table tennis racket.
No.
I was thinking that I want to get one of those and maybe carry it around, like keep it in a little holster so that I can whip it out. And so when I see one, I can swing at it. I don't want to be defenseless.
I don't know. After seeing him try to kill the moth, I'm not sure it's going to work out too great.
Just make sure nobody's standing too close, Andrew.
I can't be defenseless is what I'm saying.
Just wear a mask, wear some sunglasses.
Can't be defense. Just keep your mouth closed. You got nothing to worry about.
You can't do that.
He's going to be like, ah!
I need like a goalie mask. Walk around looking like Jason.